This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
The gang is all here. Chester's sound asleep. He's been eating. He's been having Chex Mex and tortillas this morning.
The Danish got him.
The Danish put for him Fuller. Down.
Yeah,
Fuller went Danish.
Chester didn't get any.
No, he went to Chex Mex.
Sorry, bud.
He's out like a light. Captain Ron's here. Robert's here. Otto's back in the decoration room.
It's empty room. A lot of space back there.
There's a lot of room. Eric McClain is still in the house, like I said. Tomorrow, Kelly Gramlich will take hold of the Eric McClain suite. Actually, she's coming in tonight for dinner.
That's right.
And she'll be here making her debut, assuming she passes the
sniff test.
You got to pass the sniff test with the boys.
Did you give her any tips?
Nope. You got to come prepared to make sure the dogs like you. If the dogs don't like you, you got no shot.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're the commissioner. I don't care if you got a world-famous podcast, host a local radio show, or whatever you do for a living. You got to pass the sniff test with Chester and Fuller, that's how it works.
No doubt. I'll give her a couple tips, a couple treats she brings along.
She's your partner on the podcast, man.
That's right.
We'll get her debut tomorrow.
We'll get her right. Come on.
It'll be good. All right, we have a busy show. Dan Radakovich, the new AD at the University of Miami, will join us next hour. Luke Hancock will be on board today, talk about what's going on with Louisville. COVID pause, and other stuff going on in ACC. And Pat Papalizio, we're going to talk a little NC State wrestling.
A little wrestling?
I love the wrestling.
Come on, man.
Friday Night Duels on ACC Network.
That's right.
Wolfpack number 5 in the country. So we got that. We got football bowl games to get through.
Yep.
We got hoops to get through. The NCAA has spoken on one particular case, so we're going to get into that. And who knows? We'll take phone calls too at 844-SAY-ACC.
Let's get some calls going.
You in the mood for that?
It's 7 a.m. Wake up. Let's go.
Wake up. Wake up.
Call us.
Wake up, I have. Mrs. P has fed the masses, so she's good to go.
She's been working hard these last 2 days.
She likes to be the hostess, though.
Does she? Good.
Yeah, she likes the hostess.
She's thriving.
She had little quesadillas for you boys this morning.
Yeah.
Little burritos.
It's unbelievable. I'm at a 5-star resort every day I wake up here, man.
Well, you missed out on dinner last night. Sorry. I mean, I know you had the important people
give
to rub elbows.
Give us a little hint.
I'm not telling you.
You're only
going to get mad.
You're only going to think about it.
You're only going to get mad.
Okay, don't
Kelly Gramlich's going to be fed like a queen tonight, though.
I'm happy for
her. You know, we got to get, you know. That's right. You come over to our house.
Exactly.
Mrs. P's like, you know, our house is, you know, there's always one house in the neighborhood. Like, when you're growing up. Like, all the kids always played at one house.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't care where you grow up. There's always one neighborhood house like everybody hangs out in, right?
That's right.
It's always been that way. That's how Mrs. P is. She wants everybody hanging out at the house.
Yeah.
So she likes being the hostess.
She's delivering, I'll tell you that. Killing it.
Got to marry above your head.
Chester already woke up. I'm a little disappointed.
He heard quesadilla and woke him right out of a deep cold
sleep. Speaking of everyone coming over, we should send out the address, man. Get more people.
No, let me tell you what. Here's what's funny. And we're going to get to sports here in a second. I promise.
What are those?
Whatever that is. Here's the funny thing, though. Mrs. P loves to be the hostess with the mostest.
Right.
All right. And so she likes to make sure that you got something to eat or drink or, you know, meet this person. So she loves to be that person.
Right. Right?
Which I love that she loves that because I don't need that. I mean, I do that.
All the time.
Yeah. All the time. Yeah. So when I'm not on the air, I like to kind of low maintenance.
Get off my yard.
No. I like one ice cube and, you know, I'm over there in the chair. Sure. Hey, good seeing you. Great. Awesome. If you want to come watch the game, come sit down with us. So, but here's the thing. The radio fans and now becoming the TV fans. Like this year we're getting Merry Christmas cards from viewers who have found the address and they just start sending us Merry Christmas cards. So,
how did you find this?
Well, I mean, you can find anybody's address. It's not hard. So Mrs. P gets uncomfortable with this, right?
Really?
And in the good old days back in radio, WFNZ radio, when we had this thing syndicated, and people would send me, kind of like they do now with the SiriusXM stuff, I get more bottles of bourbon and barbecue sauce and
there you go
recipes. In fact, I had somebody yesterday from Pennsylvania send me these really great chocolate cookies. All right, so and I love it. And it's like, you know, people just feel like, hey, you've entertained us, so you're part of the family, just like we talk about here all the time. But my wife gets really uncomfortable because there was one time in the old days, the radio show, that I came home from the show, and the show ends at 7. I got home. And she was furious at me. And I can name on one hand how many times we've had an argument. right. in 25 years of marriage. And she was furious with me. I said, what is the problem? And she goes, some man today knocked on my door. I said, you mean our door? My door. And I said, oh boy, what happened? And
she goes, my door.
He's a big listener and he brought food and drinks. And she goes, I was just so uncomfortable with this total stranger on my doorstep bringing in stuff. And I'm like, oh, don't worry about it.
That's John from down the
street. You have lost your mind. She goes, this is our home. I said, it's everybody. So yeah. You like to be the hostess with the mostest? It's a piece of cake.
She wasn't happy though.
You know, but like the other day, some guy from Alabama sent this box. I have no idea who the guy is. Right. He's a listener on the radio show, I guess. And she goes, you got a box today. It's like, you got a box.
This was at your door.
That's right, your door. And so I'm opening it up. She goes, Mark, you're going to... I said, honey, people want to do nice things for you. It's okay. She goes, well, how do you know? So I open it up, and it's a beautiful bottle of bourbon. All right, I never had it before.
Right.
She goes, are you going to drink that? I said, I certainly am.
Till it's gone.
And I said, absolutely. She goes, well, how do you know? I said, honey, it hasn't been tampered with.
Sure.
And if it has, hey, it's been a great
it's
run.
My time.
It's been a great run.
Follow-up.
You are just, you know, yeah. I said, I am trustworthy of everybody.
That's right.
I mean, come on. You're the hostess with the mostest.
Did she accept the food that guy brought over?
No, she says, you're going to eat it. You're going to, I mean, so I'm like.
Oh, she gave it to you.
Oh, no.
I'm saying the guy that knocked on your door.
Oh, no, absolutely. And it was great. Delicious. Right,
good.
So, I mean, I'm like, hey, you know what,
people. If you want to come back, if you're listening, we're here until about 1 o'clock.
Yeah, this is Kelly Gramlich's problem.
That's right.
So that's just part of the deal. And my wife's like, oh, you have lost your mind. I said, it's part of the deal.
That's right.
You know, people get comfortable listening to you on radio or watching you on television. You kind of feel like you're part of the family.
Exactly.
That's the way it works.
Exactly.
So that's the deal. So with that said, now let's start the show.
Oh, there's a show to do.
Yeah, 844-SAY-ACCN is the number, as we're talking about. Everybody's got one neighborhood house that everybody hangs out in. It's so true. Just the way it is.
That's right.
Yesterday, while I was preparing for what turned out to be a 48-minute radio show.
It was big.
Compliments of the Myrtle Beach Bowl, which just somehow did not want to end. Oh, my goodness. I mean, Marty.
Those are your favorite shows, aren't they?
Oh, dude. You prep all day for a show, and you're thinking, okay.
30
maybe,
minutes.
Maybe it'll be, you know, a 2.5-hour show. Right. You know, you still got to be ready to do the show. Sure. It went on and on. And I had the TV on. Tulsa and somebody were playing. Old Dominion.
Powerhouse.
Dogatemyhomework.com bowl. So the game, and I kept walking in, looking up at the scoreboard going, okay, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I should have been on the air a half an hour ago. Oh, it's still in the third quarter with three, and like, I'm trying to figure out when am I going to get this thing off the ground, right? Okay. So we didn't get on the air until like 6:10 yesterday. But the worst thing about it is I had the game on. I wasn't watching it, but it was on in the background. You know, working out the kitchen and dens right there. And in this goofy bowl game, the Myrtle Beach Bowl.
Gotta
have that one. The Myrtle Beach Bowl. All I kept hearing was the PA announcer over the broadcast going, it's third down. And there's like 12 people in the stands. Marty and McGee are trying to stay awake and stay warm on the sideline. And like every 2 minutes, it's third down. And I'm in the kitchen like this.
Please stop it.
Oh, someone shoot me. And, you know, are we ever going to get...
It's over.
Can we have a running clock? I mean, I'm glad the kids got 15 practices.
Who won the game?
I don't have any idea. I couldn't even tell you. The boys say Tulsa. Congrats to Tulsa. But all I heard that third down. I don't know if the guy was live or if it was recording.
I'm going to see their conversion rate while you keep telling me here.
Oh, my God. Just keep every going. Third down conversion. You know, you hear the announcers, and let's go down to Marty McGee, and they're trying to talk. It's third down. I'm like, oh.
Not your favorite thing?
Oh, come on. I mean, just get the guy. You know, the guy could be on the megaphone just talking to people. Hey, it's third down.
So how many third downs do you think there were?
I heard at least 35.
Oh, you're pretty close.
How
pretty
many?
Close.
30. 30. Told you. It was just unbelievable.
That's a lot. That's a lot of third
Every
downs.
Every one.
Wow.
You know how you go and play at South Carolina and you hear the chicken? They're getting beat by 100 like they normally are against Clemson. And they crank up the cock-a-doodle-doo. Who are you firing up? The crowd. Everybody left in the third quarter.
All Clemson fans.
And they're gone, right? I mean, it's, we got it. It's third down. It's third down for Tulsa.
That's their time to shine, man.
So, I don't know. That was my day yesterday. I was ready for some brown water before everyone on the air yesterday at 6:10. Listen to that PA guy. I'm assuming he's the Coastal Carolina guy. I assume.
Probably. Probably.
And if I'm offended you, Merry Christmas. I'm sorry.
No, he's loving it. This is the most TV time that we're good.
I don't even know if it was live or it was just hit the button. Third down.
Hey, one app, one tap, baby.
One. I wish it was that way on my remote. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We've wasted enough of your time this morning. We are going to take a break. We're going to come back, and there is actually big news to get into from a basketball perspective. It involved NC State. And the league had a pretty good night last night. Nobody lost, which is a beautiful thing. Mike Bray's happy. Jim Larnaga's happy. That's on the men's side. The women's side, not so much. We'll get in all that stuff. We'll take calls too. 844-SAY-ACCN. Got Eric Mackling. If you don't know, he's here at the house. He's chilling out for another day. Guys, right here on Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hey, this is my type of show, baby. Y'all just kill the music on this show. I love it.
Tis the season.
That's right. Drew, if you're listening, we need Christmas music every in and out now. Have fun figuring that out. He's not listening, he said.
He's watching the more Charlie Woods highlights.
He's watching another third down conversion.
No, don't say third down anymore. I've got a headache. Seriously, I still have a headache from the Myrtle Beach Bowl. I never rooted harder for a guy to get a first down and second down in the game than I did yesterday. Please get a first down. So, somehow let's avoid third downs moving forward from the Myrtle Beach Bowl forever.
Was there basketball last night?
There was hoops last night.
Hoops.
There was some good news on the men's side. Miami, who may be that team. You know, we keep talking about the
You
other,
hinted it a couple times yesterday.
I said that yesterday. I said, yeah. Miami's playing good basketball. Nobody's talking about Jim Larrañaga's guys down there in Coral Gables. They won their fifth straight, and Augusti went off last night. He had 27. They beat Stetson like you're supposed to
right.
if you're a good team. And I just emphasize this. And keep in mind, Miami's already 1-0 in ACC play. They rallied past Clemson at home earlier this year. But this is a team that nobody's really talking about.
Yep.
All right? And Jim Larrañaga is a tremendous coach. The last couple of years, they've been injury-plagued. They've had one injury already this year. I hope it stays that way. But if they can stay relatively healthy, maybe Miami is that one kind of surprise team that's not named Duke.
Right.
Right?
Right.
That we're trying to wait to see who's going to make a run here. Just saying.
And that's what we were discussing. Can somebody take advantage of this down year right now? Can somebody rise up who's not your historical team that's always at the top and do it? Miami's won 5 in a row. They have guys filling up the bucket. It's impressive to see. So just stay under the radar. Nobody talks about us. We'll just do our thing.
Just keep winning games. Like.
That's right. That's right.
Notre Dame was a winner last night. Mike Bray's guys, old team, kind of gotten off to a really slow mm-hmm. start. They get to 500. They destroyed Western Michigan as they're supposed to.
Right.
Dane Goodwin goes off. He was a leading scorer. Notre Dame, by the way, season high, 14 threes. When they make shots, like on most teams, they're a pretty good club now. Yeah, this is a team that beat Kentucky. But yet they've had some mystery losses where you kind of go, what's going on here? They went to BC, got smoked,
right?
Just dominated. So Notre Dame at 500, still work to be done on that front.
And it's weird. You have that older team. You would think, okay, they're going to handle business, take care of it. But the head-scratching losses, you would think it was a very young and experienced team. So they'll get right. Great coach, great program. Fighting Jordan Cornette's.
Yep, Jordan Cornette excited about that. One game on the ladies' side last night, Clemson lost to 21st-ranked LSU. The ACC Tigers off to a slow start.
Yeah.
Kelly Grammer can talk about that in greater detail tomorrow.
She'll have all the inside info there. But, yeah, Clemson just a really slow start, trying to figure it out, and just for whatever reason right now can't get it done.
There was news yesterday, and we talked about COVID yesterday, right? And I don't want to get everybody down the dumps for the holidays, but college basketball right now has really had a tough time. I mentioned I think there were 32 teams over the weekend that had to pause operations, postpone, or cancel games. 32.
Yeah.
And that number seems to be going this direction.
Right.
Now, LSU, of course, joins Florida State and Syracuse men and the Miami women on COVID pause. Just keep an eye on this story, not only within the ACC, but nationwide, Eric. This is, I think, a concern. I know we got the holidays on the brain. We got bowls on the brain. But this is going to be something that we've got to pay attention to.
Yeah, I mean, we have to, and that's what kind of the data is telling you. You're seeing these things arise, and Louisville just the next team to be put on pause. And are we having to reevaluate our protocol? Are we reevaluating testing and making sure that, you know, we're just putting people in the safest environment possible? And it's going to be interesting to see. I'm very interested to ask Dan that later. Just kind of, you know, what's happening? Are we being proactive in changing that stuff, or are we content where we are with our protocol currently?
By the way, Louisville and Kentucky, we were looking forward to that game that was going to come up tomorrow night. That is not happening, unfortunately. So the great showdown in the Commonwealth is going to be put on hold. And as far as the testing stuff goes, Mike Krzyzewski's been very outspoken about the forfeit procedure, right, and maybe we go back to our protocol in terms of testing and how we're going to go moving forward, especially now with this variant. I will say the ACC's got great medical experts involved as far as a committee and a council that I'm sure there have been conversations going, hey, how do we move forward on this? This is not an ACC issue. This is a problem for our country, worldwide, quite frankly. But when it comes to college sports, really, college hoops has really been hit hard. Big time.
It has. And again, I hope that we can reevaluate, change protocol, especially conference games. Like, it's if we can reschedule it, let's reschedule. But, you know, the smarter folks in the room, the smartest folks in the room, they'll make those decisions and, you know, just make sure that we have the safest environment we can. And if that's testing 2 days before, the night of, whatever it is, and a combination of things, I'm sure we start to see that happening again.
Yep. It would not surprise me if there's some statements that are not released, whether it be the ACC, NCAA, or any other conference moving forward. Right. We're starting to see so many numbers in terms of games lost, postponed, canceled, pauses, that you know, it's one of those things that moving forward now, we're getting into conference play across the board. It's going to be smart, man. Yeah. We don't want to be in a position where all of a sudden teams like last year – start losing weeks, and there's just no place to catch up.
Right.
That's a problem.
Right.
Real problem.
No question.
NC State in the news yesterday. Now, for folks that don't understand, there's a thing. Here's NC State's punishment, if you will.
Probably a big sigh of relief.
I was preparing for all, you know, who knows what's going to happen. The NCAA's got this new IARP, the Independent Accountability Resolution Process, which is apparently a group of really smart folks.
Right.
That look at each of these difficult cases, and they rule. There is no appeal process. So whatever the IARP rules, that is judge and jury, end of story. This is an investigation that's been going on with Dennis Smith Jr. for, it seems like, 100 years. Kevin Keats and NC State's basketball program have been living under kind of a cloud, waiting just to get some kind of answer. The good news out of all of this is there is no postseason ban. Right, NC State plays on 1 year probation, but hey, if you rock it, you can go to the NCAA tournament. That's the good news.
Right.
And what I like about this, Eric, is at least number one, NC State gets the ruling; they can now move forward. Whether it was a disaster or, quite frankly, I thought this was kind of a slap on the wrist. To be honest with you,
I agree.
And here's the other thing, though. You know what? The kids that are on this team had nothing to do with another coaching staff paying off a player, and so. There's show cause in the two coaches, Gottfried and Early, and that's their problem. But this current group of NC State players is not being punished by what somebody did yesteryear. I think that's a good thing.
Right. I completely agree with you. And that was what I was so worried about. We see the NCAA doing very silly things all the time. And I was like, okay, here's the next one. You know, NC State is going to have to pay. These players that were in like middle school are going to have to pay for something that they had nothing to do with. And we have seen it time and time again. So very happy that this committee got it right. That the team is going to be punished accordingly. And I'm sure there's fans out there that are like, that's crazy. That's unbelievable. This team had nothing to do with it. Why should these kids be punished? This coaching staff be punished? They had nothing to do with it. So I'm very happy with this ruling.
Now, there are other schools around the country that are going to fall into the same category. A lot of this stuff goes back to the FBI investigation and other stuff, right? Every case is different. So I know there were people screaming about Oklahoma State fans yesterday going, oh, I see, we get thrown on probation and we're on a postseason ban, but NC State gets slapped on the wrist. Every case is different. I've said this from day one when it comes to NCAA rulings. You can't compare case A and B because if you do, you'll drive yourself nuts. There's very little consistency between A, B, and C with all these cases. However, with this new IARP, this was the first unveiling, and so you did know, are they going to be severe? Are they going to punish NC State to that hilt? Or is it going to be a, hey, here's a $5,000 fine, a couple show causes, you guys are good to go? I think if you're Boo Corrigan and NC State, you did your due diligence, you lawyered up accordingly, you went through this new process, and I think if you're NC State and Kevin Keats, you go, thank you very much. You know, we move forward. We know what our fate is. Let's go win ball games and get in the NCAA tournament.
Exactly. I think that cloud over the head, I think that's a real deal.
It's
I
a mean, real you, that's
you
a
have
real
no
punishment.
Clue. You have no clue what's going to happen. And so now that you do, move forward, get on, take your punishment, go play.
Now, there are other schools that are going to fall under the category of this IARP, right, with all this FBI stuff, one involving an ACC team in Louisville. You got Kansas, LSU, Arizona, Memphis sitting there going, okay, we saw what NC State walked the plank. You know what? We can live with that.
Right.
I mean, I think if you're NC State, you wish it was zero in the perfect world, but you figured 5-year investigation, there was going to be something coming down the pike here. But I think if you're an NC State fan, you got that news yesterday afternoon and went, okay.
Yeah.
All right. You know, Gottfried in trouble, assistant coach in trouble. They got the show cause. They got to deal with that.
Right.
Dennis Smith got his cash. And you know what? Down the road we go.
Right.
We'll pay our $5,000 and catch you later. There's some restrictions and so forth. You put us in the 1 year double secret probation. But guess what? If we win enough games, we're going to the tournament.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, that's all you can ask for.
Right.
Quite frankly.
The people that did the deed get punished. I mean, that's how it should be. So very happy with that.
So I give, you know, I don't do this often, but I give the NCAA a little credit for finally having a ruling that makes sense. Now, if there's something that, you know, if you're out there spending $250,000 on a player when back in those days where you can't do it, you should bury somebody.
Right.
Go for it. Right. But, you know, you got to figure out how do you make sure that the kids that are on that roster who had nothing to do with the act, how do you punish them? Why are they should never be punished.
Exactly.
I've never understood it.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. And you have this new committee figuring it out. IARP.
Yep.
IARP. Thank goodness there's another four letter initial that got it right.
Well, you know, can I tell you about that one? But I do think that if you're an NC State fan, that was a
big sigh of relief.
Because you're just tired of being under
dealing
the
with
scrutiny.
It. Yeah.
I'm sure Louisville's doing the same thing. It's will this ever freaking end?
All those schools. Just looking at it.
I mean, the LSU
think
thing,
you feel better? Or well, still, you know, still kind of don't know?
Well, you know, it reminds me, too, like when Miami was being investigated. And in football, and the Nevin Shapiro stuff. And it was just like, somebody make a decision.
Right.
Well, I mean, and if you bury us, hey, we're it. And if you're not, hey, move on.
Right.
It shouldn't take 4 or 5 years for somebody to go, you know, you got the info, you've done your due diligence, rule.
Right.
Let's move on for everybody's sake.
I agree.
Whatever it may be.
I agree.
All right, so there you go. If you want to talk about any of that stuff today, you can. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. But we've got football to get into as well.
Come on.
Right?
We've got a bunch of bowl games. Six today? Five? Six? Five.
We're going to take care of it. We're going to take care of everybody today. We kind of scratched the surface a little bit yesterday. But we're,
little
today,
teaser.
Yeah, today we're going to dive in deep.
That's right.
We're going to go Louisville. We're going to go NC State. And others, right? That's what we're going to do.
And of at all.
and others. ACC Bowl Prep. The league looking for a first bowl win in a long, time.
Oh, no.
We'll talk about it coming up next right here. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
I mean tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern time, right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. We've got the Huddle Bowl preview show. Jordan Cornett, Eric McClain, Mark Richt, they're going to take a look at the 10, count them, 10 ACC teams that are bowling. They're going to break it all down for you. ACC, by the way, has at least 10 teams to bowls every year since 2016.
Wow.
2016.
I appreciate you letting me use the PJ to get back home so I can do that show.
Brother, anytime you need the private jet, it's a phone call.
My man. Thank you.
That's all you need.
Appreciate it. Can't wait. I miss my guys. I tell you what, though, doing shows at home, not fun.
No?
It stinks.
It does. Not like being in the basement? Like being in the studio?
Not like being in the basement. I like being in the studio. There's a delay. I have to, like, raise my hand. Hey, I want to talk now.
I'm well aware of the delay.
It's not fun.
We've done 526 of these. Let me tell you something. There are folks at home that have no idea.
Right.
When you try to talk on delays, how difficult that can be.
It's
so much fun. It's not quite as much fun as third down. Beach ball headache. All right. Speaking of bowling,
come on.
The ACC told you yesterday. Guaranteed, this bowl season has to be better than last.
Yes.
All right.
Please.
Let's go to the left coast.
Come on.
Let's go Holiday Fever.
I'm in.
Let's go San Diego.
What stadium is that? Padres?
They're moving to Petco Park.
Come on.
It's the third ACC team playing in a baseball stadium. Yesterday
we talked about that.
Right. We talked Fenway. We talked Yankee Stadium. Now we're going National League West.
That's right.
Home of the dominant San Francisco Giants who dominated San Diego. Where? Petco Park. That's where we're going.
Are you going to that game?
You know what? If I had one game to go to,
it would be this one.
This is the one I'd go to. If it wasn't a college football playoff game, and I'd even include New Year's Day 6, I would go to this game. Number one, San Diego is an incredible city.
Yeah.
Great weather, great things to do, great food. You got the beach if you're in the mood, right? You go La Jolla up to the north. I mean, it's old town and get the great food. I mean, it's just gas lamp district. If NC State fans listen to me, if you're thinking about road tripping, this is a great, great road trip. And the game's going to be
good. It's going to be a good game.
Yeah, UCLA, I mean, they haven't played since 1960. Right. It's the third time they've hooked up.
Crazy.
Little Pac-12 ACC. You don't see those very often.
Right, right.
Which I kind of like.
Yeah, I'm all into it, man. And really, I think this is my favorite bowl. You know, outside of the New Year's Six, when you look at that, of course, you want to see Pitt, you know, play well at a very high level, but these guys have a good opportunity here. You know, UCLA was really a smash-mouth team. They ran the ball very well. I remember watching LSU vividly. They just ran through those guys. So this defense has to bring it. You look at NC State all year long, been a very solid defense, been great at stopping the run. That's going to be key. They're going to have to bring their big boy pants and go out there and play. Big Drake Thomas play one of his best games. Corey Durden. Just to see those guys and the things that they want to do defensively. But at the end of the day, it's all about Devin Leary. And the run that he has been on has been fantastic. Four touchdowns thrown in four of his last five games. It's been impressive to see. You know, and we had the privilege to, you know, speak with Big Icky and Grant Gibson the other day on the podcast and just ask them, okay, when you guys may be in an adverse situation, when you may be down or it doesn't look like, you know, that there's a lot of hope there, what gives you the inspiration to keep going, a la that North Carolina game? It looked like it was over. Without dropping a beat, Pack, they both go, Devin Leary. Hmm. I mean, the team is so confident in his abilities and in what he brings to the table that they just feel like if there's time on the clock, they're going to figure it out. They're going to win the football game. So excited to see them, this NC State team that's played so well this year. Historic. I mean, you got a chance to go double digits for how many times? Two.
Yep.
In 2002, all of your history. Unbelievable.
Phillip Rivers. The other thing, too, to me, this is going to be a fun game because, like I said, ACC Pac-12, you don't see it very often.
Alliance.
The Alliance Showdown. But here's the other thing, too. It's kind of a strength versus strength. UCLA's got the number one scoring offense in the Pac-12. Chip Kelly's offense. They're number one in scoring in the Pac-12. We know about NC State defensively. They've been consistently good all season long. So it kind of feels like a strength versus strength kind of game.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like this. I agree. And UCLA wants to run the football. That's who they are. They rely on it. They're going to pound the rock. It's a power. You know, you kind of think Pac-12, okay, we've got some guys on the edge, got a lot of speed. This is a power football team. And so NC State has to be ready, has to combat that. And then on the other side, they're going to run a lot of games, you know, on that defensive line. They move around. It's hard to target. So a big challenge for both sides of the ball that I can't wait to watch. It's going to be a fun one.
And Dave Dorn, with a W in this bowl, wins his fourth, tying him all time with the one and only Chuck Amato.
That's right.
Who's won four bowl games. That's right. So I do think that number 10 is an important one for NC State.
Huge.
And not that, hey, if you go win nine games, it's not a disappointment. Sure. But if you're NC State, given how difficult it's been to get to that number, you know, when NC State knocked off Clemson earlier this year, Dave Dorn talked about, hey, we broke the curse.
Right.
They were so close to win the Atlantic. They go back to that Wake Forest game, woulda, coulda, shoulda, the onside kick and so forth. He's been building solid, boom, boom, boom. The last couple of years have been outstanding. But to get that 10th win, that's one of those earmarks, I think, for an NC State program, for Dave Dorn, with what he's built, and for NC State fans to go, guess what? You know what? 9, now 10. Hey, next year?
Exactly.
What can we build on?
And that's important. You talk about that number. You know, a lot of times people think, oh, the players don't know. They don't know the significance.
They do.
They know. And it matters to them. I mean, they're jacked up and excited. Grant said, listen, that's something I can tell my grandkids. There's only two, if we get it done, that have ever done it. And so it's a big deal. And you talk about bowl games that matter. You talk about teams being motivated. This team is going to be motivated. And it's going to be fun to watch it. And then you just talk about that momentum going into 22 and what can they bring to the table. I mean, I don't think it's crazy to sit here and say that NC State might be the favorite, or at least right there with the Tigers, you know, next year, in regards to who do we think is coming out on the Atlantic. Everybody that they have coming back, all those linebackers, Devin Leary, it's going to be exciting to see what this Wolfpack team can do.
Yeah, important game. If you're an NC State fan making the trip and you've never been to San Diego, and I'm not being paid for this, I'm just telling you, it is a great place for a bowl game. Great.
Welcome to San Diego is sending you the check right now.
I'm telling you, 78 degrees, 71 low, not a cloud in the sky, great beaches, great food. Again, it's an incredible place. All right, let's go Louisville. And by the way, before we start the proceedings with Louisville against Air Force, happy birthday, Coach Satterfield.
Come on, Coach.
Coach has a birthday today.
How about that? What he's doing? What do you think he's doing right now?
He's probably watching Packer and Durham and going, man, I hope they don't tell me everybody I'm 49 years old.
Happy birthday, Coach.
Coach, love still you, under 50, baby. Still under 50. Under half a 100.
Oh,
so Satterfield celebrating a big birthday today. So if you see Coach, give him a little happy birthday.
Go TP his house, everybody.
That's it. That's a good point. We've seen how that works on the cul-de-sac up there in Louisville.
That's right.
But what about this game? Air Force wants to run.
Man.
They do it better than anybody.
They do.
And Louisville, hey, put 15 dudes in the box if you can get away with it.
Yeah. I mean, we should have done that against Kentucky, too, but it just couldn't work out. So I'm very interested to see, you know, what does Louisville do? Because, you know, all season long, Pac, it had turned into a little bit of a strength, stopping the run. And in the last couple of weeks of the season, or the last week, excuse me, just against Kentucky, it just wasn't working out. They couldn't stop anything. They're running the ball so free. So this isn't your typical Air Force team. This isn't your typical service academy. These guys are good, and they know what they do. They execute at such a high level, and it's going to be, okay, you get a little frustrated. If you can't stop on third down, if you can't get off the field defensively, they're going to hold the ball. And then as an offense, what does that do? That frustrates you so much that you think, we've got to score. We've got to take advantage of it. We're only going to get six possessions this game. We've got to take full advantage. And when you don't, it just starts building and building and building. So it's going to be very intriguing to see, number one, if they play keep away, how does Louisville react to that? When they are on offense, how effective can Malik and the team be? You know, we saw him the last 2 weeks before Kentucky go on a tear, and this team just playing at another level. I mean, at Duke, we were sitting right up here watching it. It looked like a video game. I mean, Malik was going absolutely nuts. And so can he do that? He's a freak. I mean, we've seen the ability. Can he do that against this very technically sound, disciplined Air Force team?
Air Force, by the way, 341 yards on the ground. That's what they average, 3-4-1. They won a game this year without throwing a forward pass.
Yeah.
Completed the pass. Yeah. So no, we're just going to run all day.
Yeah.
So if you're the Cards, you kind of know what's coming. Now, can you do anything to stop it? Mm-hmm. I know this much. When you got that dude right there on the screen,
you feel good about your chances.
He's rushed for just over 960 yards, 19 touchdowns. Got a chance to set some records in this game. If you're Louisville, man, if you could play with the lead, life is good. There's nothing better than a team that can't throw the forward pass.
Exactly.
Having to play from behind.
Exactly. A fast start is ideal.
No question.
For Louisville. And as you said, I was looking back on my notes here. I wrote this a couple of weeks ago. You said put 10 in the box. I wrote the exact same thing. Just dare them to throw. Dare them to throw. Yeah, say, you cannot do it.
Yeah, and if you do, tip your hat to them.
Exactly.
You know, if you can throw the football and beat us, then hey, right. you deserve to beat us.
You deserve it.
You know, I just mentioned if Dave Doran wins his bowl game at NC State, he wins his fourth to tie Chuck Amato for NC State's lead. I tell you what, old Satterfield now, you put Coach Sat in a bowl game, he's yet to lose one.
Wow.
How about that? On. Four and stinking up.
Come on, Sat. Right? Let's get after it. That's good to know. That's good to know for my huddle picks later today.
Oh, in bowl games.
A little history on his side.
Now, here you go. Check this out.
Wow.
Longest bowl game win streaks to begin your career in the history since dirt.
Wow.
College football.
How about Tom Herman? Okay.
4-0. That's it. Oh, Satterfield, the birthday boy now.
Man.
He figures this one
out. He's got a chance to get on a pretty good list there,
that's
man.
That's a strong list on that, Leo. Yeah, that's right.
Go ahead, Sat. It'll be interesting to see. I think at the end of the day, I mean, this team, the team of mystery, you said that back in July,
summer.
June?
Middle of summer.
And it has been so true. I mean, we see them against Syracuse, see against Duke. Now, understand the opponent, but just look like a different team, executing at a very high level, executing at a point that it would be hard to do on air, the less having actual team out there. And then just lay such a bad egg against Kentucky. So it's going to be interesting to see where's this team's head at. How motivated are you? Do you want to play here? I think you should. And at the end of the day, understand that this Air Force team wants to beat you. I mean, they want to embarrass you.
Well, here is, you know, I said to you yesterday that all these 4,000 bowl games that we have that are not the college football playoff.
I think we should have a Mark Packer Bowl.
No, we should not.
Like the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl?
No,
the Mark Packer
Bowl. No, we should not. Same. How about the third down bowl? But I was going to say, you know, just coming back from the Army Navy.
Two bodies on. Here he is, 80 to the left. You see two bodies barely letting him get off the line of scrimmage. And one of those guys is in man coverage, but the other guy.
You heard that 30 times.
30 times yesterday.
Great find, by the way.
You wonder why I can't sleep?
Is that what's in your head all night long?
I am a terrible sleeper to begin with. When a terrible sleeper is having a terrible sleep period, which is what I'm doing, I look up at the ceiling and that's what I hear. It's third.
Do you see it like written
down. I count like sheep. I count third down calls. Third down. I was saying the Army Navy game, which I just returned to, when you play those service academies, let me tell you one thing they do. They play for 60.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're a Louisville, and you are not quite committed to the game, mm-hmm. for argument's sake, you're in for a long day.
Right.
Because I will promise you this, Air Force will play hard for 60. They will be excited to be there,
right.
and they are going to come after you.
Exactly.
So Satterfield and the boys better be ready to go. This can't be one of those, hey, man, I got my bowl swag, I'm good.
Yeah. We're out.
That will not work against a service academy in a bowl game, right?
I mean, going back and forth on this one, I really don't know. I don't know which way I'm leaning. I don't.
I never worry about the service academy. That doesn't mean they're going to win games, mm-hmm. but they will be ready to play.
They're ready to play. And bowl games, that matters a little bit more.
I just think that you got to have the want to in these games.
Right.
When you're sitting there in a position, hey, we're not in a New Year's Day six, or we're not in the college football playoff, you know, do we want to go one more game?
Yeah.
Well, you know, some guys are into it, some guys aren't.
Right.
And you can watch a bowl game and 5 minutes and tell if a team's ready to go.
What's the over under on third downs?
That's awesome. Next time I see Marty Smith.
29.5 over.
Next time I see Marty Smith, I'm gonna see Marty. Seriously. You guys got some pull down there in Myrtle Beach. Y'all are like spokespeople for that bowl. Can we tell the PA guy to
stop?
Just hold up a sign maybe next year.
Not a sign.
Just a sign. Just third down.
Now they're getting two bodies. Oh, here he is, 80 to the left. You see two bodies barely letting him get off the line of scrimmage.
That haunts Packers' dreams. Or the lack of dreams. Oh. I think I'm going to make that like your ringtone when you call me. When you call me, that's what's going to happen.
No. All right, when we come back, in case you missed it, yesterday, making his debut.
Yeah.
Alondis Williams, who has been on fire. 31 for the Deeks is lighting them up. He joined us yesterday, and we found this guy to be pretty doggone funny. Now, the Money Man, he's coming up next, in case you missed it. It's Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. Eric McClain hanging out with us one more day. Kelly Gramlich here tomorrow and Thursday. She's here physically.
She's on the way. Come on.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Makes her basement debut. Speaking of debuts yesterday, Alondis Williams, who's been, like I said, absolutely smoking hot.
Superstar.
With Coach Forbes and the Demon Deeks. He joined us yesterday, and we started the conversation with a number of things, but the first thing was chemistry, man. Coach Forbes has all these new guys. So what's it been like this year for the Deeks?
It's great, you know, we got a group of good people, good freshmen that look up to you and stuff, so it's been great, you know, bonding with all of them. Then Coach Forbes, he just topped it off because he just a people's person, you know, and then we got a lot of people persons on our team, good personality. So it's just been great and it's been easy to, you know, bond with everybody.
Alondis, one thing that is not low-key is your ability to score the basketball. And we had the privilege to come and watch you guys when we were hanging out in Wake Forest, and my host, Jordan Cornette, big basketball guy, just said, that cat's different right there. And so we start watching you very attentively, and just so silky smooth on the court, man. You just look like an artist out there. Walk me through, when you're on the court, just how easy it is for you to score right now.
It's pretty easy, but I don't really be just focusing on that. I let the game come to me, you know, just passing the ball, getting my team involved, so the court can just really open up for me, so people won't really think that I'm just go every time. So then when I do score the ball a lot, you know, the defense is always just, I bring a lot of attention, so it just make it easier to even pass the ball to my teammates and make plays for them even more. So it's really good to have that type of ability to score at any will.
By the way, speaking of that pass, how about the way you guys walked it off here into Queen City? Who got the assist after the big three? Who made that pass on Friday night?
That was me. I had to pass to my boy Zay. He told me, he was like, man, if you give it to me, I'm going to hit it for you. I said, I got you.
And that was pure, man. That was one of those sweet walk-offs. As soon as it left his hand, you knew it was in, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Oh, man, I love it, man. Well, talk to me about this. How much fun is it that when you just know, okay, you're feeling it, the other team knows you're feeling it, and they just can't stop you? I mean, do you thrive in that environment? Would you rather that environment because it just makes you feel like you have to perform at a higher level?
Yeah, it's more motivation. I like that. Than like I just like to people know that what I gotta do, so I know what I gotta do, and make me drive it more and more and more to know that I'm gonna make everybody happy and make myself happy and make my team happy at what I can do and bring on the court.
Well, it's how different is it playing at Wake Forest as opposed to Oklahoma? I know you really haven't jumped in the league yet, but you did go to Blacksburg and you walked Virginia Tech by 19. But what's been the biggest difference between Oklahoma and Wake Forest?
It's just been more love. Like I got a lot of love in Oklahoma. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking them. But it's just a lot of more love here. And it's more basketball-based, you feel me? Like, Oklahoma, it was just really a football town. And here, like, it's a basketball town, even though the football team did good. But I'm just really just seeing the love and being able to be one of them people on the team and everybody and getting attention. So just being the person getting attention and seeing the real love is great.
You know, your coach, Coach Forbes, he's co-hosted this show. Matter of fact, when he was on with us last week, he had on that crazy Christmas hat on. He had his lights all over him. When you were looking around and saying, hey, listen, I need a place to play, what was it about this guy? Because I'm telling you what now, he cracks us up every time he's on the show.
Yeah, he just a funny person. He got personality for real. Like, he funny. He He don't care. He's blunt. I like blunt people. And then it was just like me and him had a JUCO connection, you know, like he know how hard I work, he know where I come from, he know my background, he know my struggles. So like just hearing and knowing he was from JUCO, a junior college, and me coming from a junior college, we just, you know, made a bond real quick. And he's funny, and I'm a funny person too.
Wait, you're a funny guy. I like that. Okay, knowing our strengths. Yeah. Well, I love that, man. One strength that you have is, again, filling up the cup, but you can do so many other things. And you recently had a triple-double. I want to ask you about that just because it's so rare in the college game for various reasons. When you are that close, do you know, like, okay, I need one more board or I need one more, you know, assist, a dime to my guy? Were you aware of it, or did you look at the, you know, box score after and were like, okay, I did that?
A little bit.
You don't have
really
to lie. Hey, look, bro, it's just me and you. You don't have to lie to me. You don't have to lie to me.
No, nah, like a little bit. Like I kind of knew that I was like on the edge getting a double-double, but then when I came out on time, my coach was just like, man, you got a couple more minutes left. You got two more assists to go, so you better hurry up and get it.
There you go. Second one ever. I mean, that's impressive. That's unbelievable. Anytime you're on a list with Tim Duncan, I mean, look out.
Yeah, that was a shocker, too. Like, people were just asking me, like, you know, you the second one. Like, you know who else had it? Like, I didn't, like, Tim Duncan didn't come in my head. I thought it was Chris Paul, you feel me? Right. Like, you know, but I had to realize, too, like, what else could he probably could have got steals? Because he ain't getting no 10 rebounds, probably.
I'm surprised you didn't say Billy Packer. You remember him from Wake Forest?
Nah. Oh.
Alondis, your Twitter handle is MoneyManMan15. There's got to be a story behind that. Since you're the funny guy, how did you become the MoneyManMan15?
Man, I couldn't think of nothing else, you know, and I like money, so, you know, I always got to keep my man alive.
That's a funny guy, man.
I like money, too.
Who doesn't?
That was awesome. What Billy a debut. Packer?
No, man, never heard of him.
Never heard of that guy. You should have schooled him, man. You should have let him know.
I told Drew after the show, I said, man, if that doesn't make the best of.
That's right.
We whiffed on that.
Mark it down.
But, man, has he gotten off to a great start?
Yeah.
And so are the Deeks.
He's good, man. It's fun to watch. And really, just the way that he can attack you, he's a true scorer. And we talked about it yesterday a ton. But what was so impressive is the way that he moves without the basketball to me, and just getting himself in the right position, even being a decoy at times, understanding that if I cut to the hole and then bounce to the corner, I'm pulling attention with me, opening up the lane, getting my guys going. And so he's fun to watch. Way back, I think it was the second or third game of the season, we knew this guy's a little different, and he's delivered time and time again.
He was also named the ACC Player of the Week. Little Packer and Durham bump. That's how it normally works. Ooh, but we enjoyed having him on. He was fun. We look forward to his next visit with us. Of course, the Deeks rocking and rolling. We'll get in all that stuff. More hoops news, more football news. But we get ready for hour number two. And guess what? The new athletic director at the University of Miami, old friend of the show, Dan Radakovich, plans to join us coming up. Again, we'll take phone calls, too, at 844-SAY-ACCM. But all that is coming up next. Eric McLean filling in for Wes. Again, it's Packer and Durham, ACC Network, on a Tuesday holiday edition this week. Take good care of it. Right here, ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.